Back here on The Drive, hour number two underway right here on Fan Run Radio. John Tyler is here. He's got the top four at four, which is brought to you this afternoon by WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave today online at wavetechmedical.com. John?
Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing well, thank you.
Number one, Kansas forward Silvio D'Souza has been suspended indefinitely for his role in the Jayhawks brawl with Kansas State last night. Kansas announced the suspension today in a statement from Coach Bill Self. The school did not reveal a specific length of D'Souza's suspension or additional punishment for any other player, citing its joint review with the Big 12. Quote, I have suspended D'Souza indefinitely pending the final outcome of the review by Kansas and the Big 12 Conference, Self said in his statement. As I said last night, we are disappointed in his actions, and there is no place in the game for that behavior.
So there's one. We'll see if anything else is forthcoming.
I would think so.
And obviously this is pretty key for Tennessee. And if you're, you know, does Kansas or the Big 12 owe Rick Barnes and the SEC anything? Because I'd imagine we're watching film today, and it's kind of pertinent. Like, who's going to play? I realize it's an advantage for them, but to me it seems like the and I know we're talking about integrity in Kansas basketball. It might be a bit of a stretch there, but it seems like the gentlemanly thing to do would be to announce what your roster is going to look like as soon as possible.
No. Remember what Mississippi State did last year? Last football season with their suspended players? They didn't even announce that they were playing or not.
Yeah.
You had to find them on the field.
But, I mean, it feels like this is a little bit different because it happened last night on national television. Everybody, you know, and, like, I think if you're Kansas and you've had this many public relations disasters, you want to get out in front of this thing and just say, hey, we're being proactive and this is the deal. If you wait and you're, like, hiding possible suspensions until the last minute and ESPN game days and everything, it adds another element of shadiness to a program that already looks super shady. And maybe they just don't care at this point. Maybe I'm being naive and it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's like, step up, man, and have some integrity.
Kansas knows that Reese, Billis, Jay Williams, Seth Gray, they're all coming to town on Saturday. So they better get this thing straight before they get there.
Is Vitale going to be on the call?
No, Jay Billis probably would be if it's at Kansas.
Number two, ESPN has released their 2021 NBA mock draft. And they have some Vol Hoops signees and current Vol players being drafted. They have number Keon.
Next year's draft.
2021. Okay. They have Keon Johnson going number 14 overall to Portland.
How do they know?
Jaden Springer going number 28 overall to the Clippers. And Eve Pons going number 52 overall to the 76ers.
Wow. Eve Pons, man.
He's making some money this
season. Dude playing the NBA. Could he be a 3-and-D guy if that shot continues to develop? I mean, it has to get much more consistent. But
I think that's the biggest bunch of clickbait that I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry.
Trying to project the draft
to which
over
team in 2 years they're going to go to?
Probably, but
it says a lot about the guys coming in, though.
Gives us yet another reason to be excited.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Number three, a dominant offensive performance highlighted by Fulkerson's double-double resulted in a Tennessee 73-48 shellacking of Ole Miss last night at Thompson Bowling Arena. The win marked Rick Barnes' 100th victory as the Tennessee head coach. The Vols' victory elevated the team to 12-6 overall, 4-2 in the SEC. The Vols head to the University of Kansas Saturday afternoon to take on Bill Self's third-ranked Jayhawks at Allen Fieldhouse. The challenge showdown tips off at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and be televised on ESPN, and College Game Day will broadcast live from KU's historic venue Saturday morning.
By the way, speaking of Jaden Springer, he's going to be in town Saturday before the Kansas game. His IMG squad is playing at Catholic. So I don't know if – I'd imagine tickets could be – that's going to be hard to get into. But if you know somebody and you want to see – high school basketball at its zenith. I mean, you're going to see Jaden Springer and whoever else IMG has. I'm sure they've got other D1 prospects.
I think there's
going to
be like between the two teams, there's seven, maybe eight Power 5 Division 1 prospects.
And Bear and I are going to be there. And
gates open at 12:30.
We're going to see. Obviously, we know B.J. Edwards is a top 100 level prospect, and Tennessee's already offered him. But Bear's crusade for Akeem Adesupe. I will come back Monday with a firsthand eyewitness account, and I will let you know, in my humble opinion, whether or not Bear is full of it, as he so often it is.
I'm full of it. The kid's got 20 standing offers.
Or if Bear, in a rare moment of clarity, has actually made a
nice
a good
report.
Scout. Yeah.
Bear's going to have a sign.
I'll let you know. I'm going to be in attendance.
You're going to be walking around with a celebrity. Think about that.
With Bear?
Yeah, you're going to be like lower on the pedestal.
If I wasn't going to Mobile, I'd be there.
It is kind of like...
You just stand at the corner of the floor and lean up against the wall. I usually stand with a cop.
You have the police to kind of keep the autograph seekers at bay.
Right. No.
No autographs.
Deputy Donut. He's a buddy of mine.
No pictures, please.
No. He's a friend of mine.
Bear, he's like an Indian. He thinks if you take his picture, it's going to take some of his soul away.
Not some.
Whatever soul you have left.
How much?
I'm sorry. I just ripped on Bear like five times in number three of the top four. Please continue, John Tyler. Wrap up for us.
Yes, number four. The number one overall pick in last year's draft. Zion Williamson is set to make his NBA regular season debut tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. You can check it out on ESPN at 9:30 p.m. tonight.
I care about as much about that as I do about an Andy Griffith rerun. That little.
It's very astute.
I think, I'm trying to come up with some sort of take. I got nothing, John. I'm sorry.
Do you think that people care as much as if it had been at the beginning of the season? Like, if he had started from day one.
I think it's kind of buried, really. If you're a hardcore NBA fan, you probably tune in to check it out, but I could care less.
They're going live with SportsCenter tonight. They've been promoting it like he's the second coming is
since he started at
basketball.
Duke, they've been doing that, though. They've been pushing him to take over LeBron's throne.
Well, I get that. I just don't care. Tonight's Wednesday night. There's going to be SEC basketball on.
The last I had heard about Zion, weren't they like teaching him a different way to run or something so that he wouldn't blow out his massive joints, something like that? I'm serious. Like they were going to rebuild the way he strides or something, the way his feet hit the floor.
You are correct. They were doing that down in New Orleans.
It's got to be weird. Hey, you know how you've been running pretty much since you're like a 4-year-old? Yeah, we're going to change that. Instead of doing this, we want you to do it this way now.
Yes, sir.
I think he's going to be a bust.
I don't.
I think he should have stayed at Duke.
Unless he has like Greg Oden type injury issues, I think he'll be pretty good. That is the top four of four. It's brought to you by Wave Tech Medical. Fellas, if you are struggling with the early onset of erectile dysfunction or the late onset, if you're just struggling with ED, period, and the condition is getting progressively worse, then you need to call our friends at Wave Tech Medical. They can help reverse this condition using acoustic wave therapy. It reverses ED. It is amazing. You can find out more at wavetechmedical.com. They do free consultations for you. It is quick. It's easy. It's discreet. This is what they do at WaveTech. They help guys get back in the game of love. WaveTech acoustic wave treatment is 100% non-invasive. There's no pills. There's no injections. It is 100% pain-free. And it's not just a Band-Aid fix that works for a couple of hours or a couple of days. It actually fixes the underlying issues associated with ED. So you need to check them out if this is causing you relationship problems. Their phone number here in Knoxville is 865-761-4401. That's 761-4401. Or go online to wavetechmedical.com to set up your free consultation. Again, catch the wave today. Experience a renewed lifestyle with Wave Tech Medical. Yes, Trey?
Just being nice, respectful, holding the hand up.
Yeah, I'm called on you. The teacher's called on you.
That's good. It's good. So would you watch – there's now a lot of talk going on about Conor McGregor.
I saw it. And Bud Crawford.
The man from Oklahoma. Would you watch – okay.
I feel like
a lot of people don't know who Terrence Crawford is, okay? But I've been following Bud for 6 years. But there's also talk that McGregor could fight Manny Pacquiao or rematch with Mayweather.
I'd almost rather see him fight Pacquiao. I like in a boxing match with Terrence Crawford, dude would just tear him up. Yeah. And we've already seen that. We saw him fight Mayweather. It'd be the same thing. Like if he can land an early big punch, like maybe I guess he could score a lucky knockout. But Crawford's not going to let that happen, man. He's
either that or Mayweather get into an octagon.
Well, that's never going to happen.
They have signed an agreement, reportedly.
Yeah, I guarantee he didn't sign any agreement. Not any kind of fight. It's any kind of damn octagon with Conor McGregor.
UFC and Mayweather Promotions. So they're trying to work out something here.
Floyd Mayweather ain't.
He ain't getting an octagon.
I wish he would, man. I mean,
I'd like to see him box again. And I think I kind of would. I don't know.
It was an entertaining fight. It was much more entertaining than people thought. But how much of that was Floyd like propping him up to make it look interesting? I don't know.
I ain't paying $99 for it again, like I did last time. Got hoodwinked.
You wouldn't pay $5 if Ali, if they resurrected Ali and he was going to fight, you know, Frazier again.
I'd find a link.
Well, let's not kid ourselves here, Trey. You're a known pirate.
I'm not a known pirate, okay? For big
stuff. No! You've admitted on air at least 5 times.
Yarr.
A couple times.
Not I mean, you're watching movies that aren't even out in the theaters yet.
The fight game.
I have a buddy that works in the industry. He gets these movies ahead of time.
Well, now you've involved your buddy.
I can't put them on the internet. I don't put them on the internet. He sends them to me. He FedExes me the movies after he watches them. Because they have to send them out for early consideration. Rat.
The bigger issue.
Joe Pesci.
Are you two done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Two of you just go outside and, like, make out and get it over with. I mean, please. Like, it's getting a little obnoxious.
He's wearing a wire.
The bigger issue to me, what is happening in the fight game between boxing and MMA? If I'm Dana White and the MMA folks, I don't like these crossover things, right? Because boxing is the competition. And it's dying.
Yeah, but they're gonna
just
buy
it. Just let it die, right? You're gonna buy it the same way McDonald's would buy Burger King and just like shut it down, right? You just want to or turn them all into McDonald's. Like it's
see, you think boxing's dying? I think it's now starting to get better because you've got Terrence Crawford, you've got Deontay, you've got Anthony Joshua who fought better. Tyson Fury. I know these are all a couple. Most of them are heavyweights.
Nobody watches, man. Like compared to
what do you mean? Nobody watches. 93,000 people. They sold out Wembley Stadium to watch
93,000
Anthony
people.
Joshua fight.
I mean, fight fans watch it, but it's niche. It's small. Boxing used to be huge. It used to be one of, if not the biggest sport in America.
In the
World War II days, it was. Obviously, a huge deal in the 60s and 70s when Ali and those guys were going out. And it was a big deal in the 1980s when Mike Tyson. Since then, it's not a big deal anymore.
Look,
it's a niche sport.
I was growing up, and I remember being 5, 6 years old and going over to my uncle's house. Me, him, my dad, we'd order the fight, and we'd watch. I think I watched, and I mean this sincerely, I probably watched all the big fights in the 90s at my uncle's house. Growing
okay,
up.
Okay, great. We all watched the Tyson fights.
Tyson fights. It's the Lennox Lewis. It's the Riddick Bowes. It's the George Foremans. It's the Roy Mercer. Ray Mercer. It's Roy Jones Jr.
Okay, Trey, we get it. You're a fight fan.
No.
What I'm saying is
you don't think they can recapture that?
No, they can't. UFC has passed them by. MMA has passed them by. Like, and MMA is niche, too. MMA is much bigger than boxing is right now, but it's nowhere near as big as boxing was when Tyson was fighting, and certainly not before that when you could watch those fights on
regular television.
So
now they have to combine, and they have to try to get their numbers up. That's why you see Floyd Mayweather signing a promotion deal with UFC.
When was the last big boxing fight that was promoted big time that the entire sports community, like, we made a big deal out of it. Everybody was talking about it, and everybody went and watched.
Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury.
No, no. That happened a year ago, and nobody talked about it, Trey. Nobody talked about it.
Yeah, but maybe you're not with people that talk about it.
I host a sports radio call-in show. I'm as big a boxing fan as you are. I feel like you're trying to carry the flag because you're a fight fan, and that's cool.
Okay, but Mayweather versus Canelo.
Nobody remembers. Nobody remembers that fight. I just had to take a minute to remember. Like, did that fight even happen?
Yeah, it happened.
Mayweather Pacquiao, maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Just because those are names you
maybe
know.
Maybe that one or the McGregor Mayweather thing, but that was a big stunt. Like, yeah. We haven't had. Okay, so. Deontay Wilder is fighting Tyson Fury again here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and that's probably the big thing in boxing right now. That is nothing compared to the hype that we used to get for like Tyson Holyfield, Tyson Lennox Lewis, even like Tyson Michael Spinks or any Tyson fight from back in the day. Any Ali fight, Larry Holmes fight, Joe Frazier fight. It's just the sport's dead, man.
You're trying to match what Larry Holmes did and how boxing is trying to be promoted nowadays?
I'm saying it doesn't
compare. It's on a different thing. It was also 1995 where you could go out to your box and flip a switch and you'd get the pay-per-view channel, which was awesome, by the way. Like, it's two different times. I mean, the problem is now is that they're trying to charge $59 and $69. They charged $69 the other night to watch McGregor fight Cowboy. And the darn thing ended in 40 seconds. I logged onto a website and streamed it.
That used to happen all the time in Tyson fights. Good, right? Like Mike Tyson would fight somebody, and there'd be all this buildup, and he'd come knock the dude out in the first round.
My uncle went to a fight at in Memphis. He said he went to the concession stand to get some nachos. He came back and the fight was over.
That was when Tyson
he
fought.
He was pissed.
What was that dude? Is it Etienne? Or
I think it might have been.
I mean, he did it to
he did it several, but the one in Memphis,
I don't know. I don't know Memphis.
Yeah. That poster.
Trevor Burbick, one of the Spinks brothers. I don't think it was Leon. Michael Spinks.
He put Michael through the ropes.
He was terrified.
And you also got people like Don King, who's just horrible for the sport nowadays and just taking money from fighters and putting together horrible promotions. And, you know, you got Bob Arum, who owns a AAA baseball team as well in Montgomery. I mean, they're trying. If I gave you a big fight, I'd love to put this in the field and figure out, okay, are people still into boxing now? If I gave you...
No, they're not.
You don't think?
I love it, man. I'm not trying to crap on the sport or your enthusiasm for it. I'm just like, it's just not, man. I mean, it's not a big deal anymore.
You don't think the Triple G fight was big? Triple G Canelo?
It was to you and me, but we're fight fans.
No, but I'm asking you outside the realm. A lot of people don't know.
A lot of people don't know who Triple G is.
But that's why they try to promote it so much through SportsCenter and through these weekly things. And I get that. I think if you asked one out of five sports fans, they know who Canelo Alvarez is.
Well, that's 20%.
I know that, but I'm saying you're at the bottom here.
Ask five sports fans in 1985 who Sugar Ray Leonard was, and you'd get 100% return yes.
That's because there was only one sports channel back in 1985, and it was ESPN, so that's all it was promoted.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fine, but like that. I mean, you said it yourself.
You got Dazen,
20% of sports fans right now might be able to tell you who the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world is right now, as opposed to 100% 30 years ago. You know what that is? That's a dead sport, man.
It's digression.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. That. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacement.
Radio experience like no other. This is The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Portions of our show brought to you by our friends at National RX, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy. Visit nationalrx.com or just stop by their beautiful facility located on Kingston Pike in Farragut, right next to Wendy's. You know, National RX has been one of our longest, maybe the longest sponsor of The Drive. Almost 10 years now. You guys realize the Drive, we celebrate our 10th birthday in September. And National RX has been there just about from the beginning. Maybe you're a younger listener. Maybe you're in great health. Maybe you don't have to have a ton of prescriptions filled on the reg. You still stop by National RX and get yourself an over-the-counter product. Maybe just something as simple as a toothbrush, bottle of aspirin, whatever. Let them know that you're listening. Let them know that you appreciate their sponsorship, because we would not be here without National RX. And, of course, they're your home for Ananda Professional CBD products. It's National RX in Farragut.
You know, August, I think, 17th is 4-year anniversary on The Drive for me. I don't know if you wanted to maybe plan an extravaganza this year.
In August?
Started in August.
I know. I know, Bear. I know.
That's a long way from now. I mean, me and you might kill each other before then.
I won't die, Trey. I promise you that.
You will
die. You want to...
Bigger than you have tried.
You will die. Sorry.
Just...
You want a fourth birthday party, Bear?
Can we get him a bouncy house? Maybe some clowns.
Clowns for the bear?
Yeah. Like pin the tail on the donkey, petting zoo outside. We used to have some goats here. Yeah, we should do that. Paintball or laser tag be fun.
The phone lines are messed up. That's why we are not going to the phones. I understand they are blowing up right now about the fighting conversation, but the phone lines are, I believe the technical word is jacked. So you're just hanging with the Drive this afternoon, and that's fine.
Hey, if I had to ask you, how many more people you think watched, this is going to seem bad to you, Monday Night Raw over the Lakers versus Celtics game?
Monday Night Raw was more watched.
So Monday Night Raw was more watched than the Lakers-Celtics game. But I ask you, how big a margin do you think it is? How many people? How many households?
I'd say Raw, probably like maybe 15 million people watching Monday Night Raw compared to like maybe a million or two watching NBA game.
500,000 more people watched Monday Night Raw than the Lakers-Celtics game on primetime on TNT.
How many people watched it?
Don't know. I'd have to find the cable ratings. I think they had a 3.2.
I mean, that's really close. Just 500,000 people. That's not a huge difference, is it?
I mean, not really. I mean, you had upwards of 9 million people watching The Bachelor. So
that's a huge rating, man.
I mean, I guess so, but rating systems are so weird. So, like, you know, they pulled a 2.5, WWE did, compared to NBA basketball, which pulled a 2.0. So that's how they kind of measure it through there. But I still found that part interesting to see how much NBA. The best part about the NBA is the TNT show with Charles Barkley and Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been able to pivot, in my opinion, and build upon that with regular viewing. Because now when I watch the NBA, the only reason I watch the NBA is to watch Admiral and Grant. That's it. Like, I didn't think I would care. I didn't watch the NBA last year. And the only reason I'm watching it this year is because I want to watch Grant Williams play.
Well, I mean, you talk about fighting sports, you know, boxing in particular.
Yeah.
MMA wasn't a thing back in the, you know, before 10, 20 years ago. But, like,
Tank
NBA habit. Ratings, I mean,
yeah.
They're just non-existent compared to what they were 20 years ago.
And another thing that shook me, I was watching college basketball on FS1. They now have the NBC theme. The old NBC,
Yeah. They
have the theme now.
Yeah.
They bought
Round
that.
Ball Rock.
They bought it from John Tesh. They bought the rights.
Good for them.
Well, no, it throws me off. I can't watch college hoops and then hear the NBA theme.
Yeah.
And then Gus Johnson and Bill Rafferty come in.
Well, and it's also, you know, you hear that theme and you think, to me, I hear that thing. I think of Jordan's Bulls against Ewing's Knicks.
Yes. Right?
And if you're flipping on Fox and you see Creighton taking on St. John's, it's not the same thing. It's a little different.
All right, got some NBA. Wait a minute. That's Xavier?
The music was good, but
I agree.
It was good because of what you associate it with in your head, right?
And the live performance of it is even better.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons. Like, basketball is, I think, still popular. I don't think what those ratings have tanked in the way, you know, boxing numbers have tanked. But it doesn't feel like basketball as a sport has just completely lost its hold on the American imagination the way boxing has. And I think that's more when you talk about all the choices we have in society for entertainment today. I think that's more what's hurting basketball than some just like cultural drift where also, we just don't like it anymore.
Also, the 10 o'clock Eastern time tips on TNT. I'm sorry. I'm not staying up. I mean, John, I know I hear John Reed talking about it a lot, and Cam, that they stay up late and watch basketball. And I see John tweeting at like 12:30 at night. I know he's watching basketball. But, like, it's different. To me, there's nothing in the fall, and this is in the fall, when Tennessee's off. This is like the perfect Saturday. I get college football all day, get it at night, and then it leads into a 10 o'clock start time on a huge boxing match, a huge MMA fight. Like, that's the perfect Saturday.
Well, I think that just going forward in the future, it's already this way, and it's just going to continue to drift. Like, people under the age of 30, when we talk about like cable and like, oh, what are you watching? Like, they look at that just completely different than like people my age, 40s, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. Look, like, you know, I don't channel surf anymore. You remember like you used to just like you pick up the remote and right. you're looking at the channel, see what's on. Like nobody does that anymore. The only reason you watch TV or the only reason I watch TV is if I'm watching a sporting event or I'm watching a movie or something. And guess what? If I'm doing that, I'm watching Netflix or I'm watching something on demand.
It's appointment television. And
that's just the way it is. Like the, you know, maybe people, I guess, are watching The Bachelor or, you know, they might be watching news events right now, you know, if something big is going on. But, like, I just can't imagine – I'm no expert on the subject, but I can't imagine the numbers for let's flip a house on A&E at Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. are very good. It's just filler, right? I mean, there's less than – there's a couple, you know, maybe 50,000 people watching that.
That's why it's
in a nation of over 350 million.
Soap opera numbers. Whenever I'd see soap opera ratings, they're like getting a 15 rating.
Amen.
It means like 4 or 5 million people are watching that.
Don't mess with their stories.
Young and the Restless.
Don't mess with their stories.
You know, they fired the whole cast off that show.
The other thing, talking just about TV at large, that always blows my mind is everybody talks about, you know, are broken down, like the way we follow news and fake news and all that stuff. Do you watch Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whatever? And everybody hates them all, right?
Because they try to put you in a corner.
Have you looked at the number? You know who's watching that stuff? Like the average MSNBC is the young liberal network,
exactly.
Right? You know what the average age of an MSNBC watcher is? Take a guess.
25.
It's like 55, bro.
Is it really?
The only people watching cable news are old people. Yeah. No offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, we make such a big deal of it and treat it like it's this huge influential. It's not, man. It's
not anymore because it used to be this.
Now, older folks vote more. So, like, that's a thing. But, like, it's just, it's not this huge.
I was a news junkie in college, and I was growing up. Every morning in high school, I'd read the news before I went inside, I'd read the newspaper. But I learned it real quick, you know, how people categorize it. And it's interesting because this is now getting to sports. FS1, ESPN, NBCSN, Dazen Network, you know, it's all getting categorized now by your beliefs. It's kind of weird. Like a lot of people tuned out to ESPN nowadays. And it's weird.
Just show me the game, man. Just show me the game.
Right.
I've got my own opinions on it. I know what I think. I don't need to know what Stephen A. Smith thinks. Just show me the game. Stay with us. Quick timeout. It's The Drive. Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Where The Karate Kid is being turned into a Broadway musical.
No.
1984 hit starring Pat Morita and who is the dude? Who is Daniel-san?
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio.
You're the best around.
Coming to a Broadway stage near you. Are you? I guess they would have to turn You're the best into a.
Oh yeah.
Like a big number, right?
It's gonna be like yeah. You thought Hamilton was good. Wait till they get 30 people singing that song together in harmony.
Oh yeah, I mean the story of the birth of our nation, our founders, all of our ideals as a country, and the Karate Kid. I think there's a good parallel there.
I don't know how they would. Whatever. Is the guy coming back from Cobra Kai?
I think you have to stay loyal to the story, right?
Is Ralph Machado whatever get involved?
Have you seen? Have you younger guy Hayden? Have you seen the Karate Kid?
The
1984 one, right?
All four of them. Yeah. You didn't see the Hillary Swank one, did you? Nope.
I haven't seen that one. The one with Will Smith's son.
I don't want to talk about that one.
What are we talking about?
Hillary Swank one.
Was in a Karate Kid movie?
Yeah. Karate Kid 4.
Really?
If it's got Mr. Miyagi in it, I will watch it. The one with Will Smith.
Those are just the first two.
No. There were three. And then Hillary Swank.
Pat Morita's been dead for like 20 years.
Dude, there were one, two, three. Yeah.
But they had like another person playing the Mr. Miyagi role?
No, it was him.
What the hell are you talking about? I don't know.
Hillary Swank was in a Karate Kid movie with Mr. Miyagi. I will bet everything I have in my bank account on this.
With Pat Morita.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And they fought some people at some prep school, some boys at a prep school. I remember this.
Pat Morita died in 2005.
Well, tough nitty. He was still in the Karate Kid. He got one with Hillary Swank. Well, you ain't got to show him.
Next Karate Kid. They cranked those things out, man. Whatever happened to Daniel-san?
He was in the YouTube series. My Cousin Vinny.
He's in the YouTube series.
I watched that.
Somebody told me that was really good. I just never watched it. It's funny.
Yeah, they even brought back the old boy from Cobra Kai. And then his mentor, who's now in some insurance commercials. Ralph went away till he had that appearance on Entourage that time with the Dylan boy because he couldn't get into the Playboy Mansion. You remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Been a while since I've been through that one. Gus Malzahn is turning over play calling duties to Chad Morris.
And they just announced Kevin Steele has agreed to a contract extension through 2022.
I feel like the cycle of Gus is first they hired him down there. What it was his first year 2011 or 12?
I want to say.
He's been there for 7 or 8 years, right?
Yeah.
And he has this cycles. You hire him, and it's the Gus Bus offense, right? Gus Malzahn. I'm doing all the stuff with the pre-snap motion and all. You know what his football looks like. And then, like, they throw up an 8-4, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna step back a little bit, kind of like Pruitt did this year. I'm going to step back on hiring an offensive coordinator, let him call the plays. You're still running my offense, but I'm going to let this guy call the plays. And then that – like, it works for the first year, and then they throw up another 8-4. And it's like Gus says, I'm taking the offense over again. I'm going to step in. And they're like, all right. And then that works. They throw up a 10-2. They beat Alabama or something like that. And then they throw up an 8-4 the next year. And Gus says, I'm stepping back. I'm gonna hire an offensive coordinator. This is just the cycle, man. Am I wrong? It seems like he's done this about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever brought in a guy like Chad Morris.
But he's not going
to. 3 years ago, Chad Morris was the name when it came to offensive football.
But he's not going to, like, change his system. It's still going to be Gus's system, right?
I mean, I would think so, but he gets full play calling. I mean, if you look at what Chad Morris ran and what Gus ran, it's kind of the same thing. But I agree with you that Gus is not going to say, okay, we're going to change up the whole playbook. You do what you want to do.
just seems like
Kevin Steele sitting over there with it.
I know he's been on the hot seat before, and he always finds a way back, and he got the big contract the year before last, and they did beat Alabama this year, but I don't know. It just feels like the sand is slipping through the hourglass of the Gus Malzahn era at Auburn.
Yeah, but look, man, I mean, two years ago, there's a plane waiting for him in Atlanta's airport, coming off, or 3 years off a title game. I mean, after the UCF game for Arkansas. I mean, I don't know how things – I wonder to this day how much things would be different if he'd have taken that Arkansas job before Chad Morris and got on that plane.
Or if he'd taken it this time around.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if taking it this time around would have been really, really stupid because he'd been giving up like a $40 million buyout. Like, look, if you're going to have to fire me and give me whatever I'm owed to get rid of me now. Like, you got me.
Do you think the reason that, and I'm sure Arkansas put out their feelers or whatever and he turned them down, but do you think it's more of to do with the fact that he has this astronomical buyout from Auburn, or do you think it's more to do with the fact that it's like, hey, yeah, I might not be in the playoff at Auburn right now, but we got it. We're a pretty darn good program. Arkansas is a total train wreck. I don't want to go rebuild that.
I agree with you on that one. I also think it has to do with
like, which one is it more? Is it the money or the fact that Arkansas is such a disaster right now?
I'm going to add one on to the money. The money and knowing that you have Bo Nix. Because you're going to go to – if he'd have gone to Arkansas, I'm not saying he would have gone and gotten Felipe Franks or Nick Starkle would have transferred from Arkansas or anything like that. But the fact that you had Bo Nix coming back, you can build on – Bo Nix is his savior right now. Because as long as Bo Nix is at Auburn, I think Gus is at Auburn.
He doesn't –
because they see potential.
Yeah. I don't know. Bo Nix, I know it's just – it was his freshman year. He doesn't strike me as a program savior for them. Now, I know he's a five-star, and they had a nice year, and obviously he beat Alabama.
Comfortable because he's from the state. Everybody watched him grow up in the state, so they know what they're getting.
So there's a lot of hope there.
There's a lot of hope. Right. There's a lot of hope there.
A dentist in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, gosh.
Has been convicted on dozens of charges after he was filmed extracting a patient's tooth while he blank. A dentist in Anchorage has been convicted on dozens of charges after he was filmed extracting a patient's tooth as he blank. Hayden, you sent me this story, so you cannot answer. Bear?
Huffing on nitrous?
Ice fishing?
Standing on a hoverboard.
Wait, what?
Oh, my God.
Seth Lockhart, convicted on 46 felony and misdemeanor counts 46. In Anchorage Superior Court on Friday by Judge Michael Wolverton, who called the evidence presented by the state during a five-week bench trial, quote, overwhelming. Lawsuit filed by the state in 2017 charged Lockhart with, quote, unlawful dental acts, saying his patient care did not meet professional standards.
46 charges? Is that how many people he extracted teeth from on a hoverboard?
Evidently. That was his thing.
That's the cool thing to do. Oh, look, my dentist is on a hoverboard. This is going to go over well.
I don't think he told you. I think it's.
Oh, you're out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the deal because, like
a Bryan Cranston from Seinfeld.
I've never had a tooth pulled. I have excellent dental health. Thank you very much. It's not my style to brag. It's just, I never had a cavity.
When you don't have to have a cavity to have your tooth
pulled. Never had a tooth pulled.
That is the worst. When I was
make you jealous?
When I was like 11, and they just crank, and then they yank.
I'm guessing that if I did, I would prefer to be under anesthesia, preferably out.
Laughing gas.
Yeah. So, I guess like if I had my wits about me and the dentist is like, all right, we're going to do the thing, and he comes in and he's on a hoverboard, that would kind of be a red flag. That's just me. I want my dentist, my medical professionals, when they're helping me out, I want both feet on the ground, no machinery involved, you know, other than whatever they're using for my mouth. I just, you know.
Excuse me, Marty McFly, get your ass off the hoverboard. You got a job to do here.
Quick timeout. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We are back with more. Stay with us.
The Drive. The unimaginable. The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group, real estate the right way. Check out BoKnowsHouses.com. Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt announcing today the addition of veteran wide receiver and kick returner Velus Jones to the Vols football program. Jones collected all-conference second-team honors from the Pac-12 as a return specialist this past season. He graduated from Southern Cal and will be eligible to play this fall. A Saraland, Alabama native, was a valuable member of the Trojans receiver rotation during the last 3 years, while proving to be one of the Pac-12's top kick returners during his career. Did I mispronounce Saraland?
Saraland.
Saraland?
You said Saraland.
I'm guessing.
Saraland.
What is it?
Just go full redneck with it.
Saraland?
No, go redneck.
Saraland.
No, Saraland.
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 You think that's full redneck?
Saraland, Alabama.
You're pronouncing it like full redneck would be Saraland.
5 miles outside of Mobile.
I'm from Saraland, Alabama.
It's Saraland.
I'm from Saraland, Alabama.
Sarah Lee.
What do we think Velus Jones's impact will be this season?
Not much.
Oh, gosh. Okay, kick return game. I think he adds veteran presence to the field, especially the wide receiver position, and he'd be a good slot receiver. That's what they brought him in for, be a slot receiver. And if you haven't listened to it or read it yet, go check out my interview with him on FoxSportsKnoxville.com.
Tennessee defeats Ole Miss a lot to a little. Your final score last night at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena, another double-double for John Fulkerson. Next up for the Vols, a Saturday 4 p.m. tip-off against number 3 Kansas in Lawrence Allen Fieldhouse. And this one, it's going to be interesting already because of the fight last night. Silvio D'Souza suspended indefinitely by Bill Self today. And it sounds like there is further investigation going on as they continue to sift through the video footage to find out if Jayhawks will be missing anybody else when the Volunteers come calling.
How much video they get is going to be big. There's probably 10 different angles of that on Twitter last night. We'll see.
And finally, Alaric Solari, Tennessee third baseman, I want to say.
Yeah.
Left fielder. Has been named second team preseason All-American, according to D1Baseball.com. Tony Vitellico and the boys getting set to get things cranked up, see if they can get back to the NCAA tournament again.
Look forward
after
to him joining us on Tuesday.
Kind of breakthrough season last year for Tennessee baseball. That is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Craigner Group. Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group knows houses. And Bo knows that selling your house can be a stressful situation. Lucky for you, Bo knows how to design a marketing plan that takes the pressure off your shoulders so that you can get your house sold and move on to your next home. Visit BoKnowsHouses.com to find out more or call Bo direct at 865-742-1035 to set up a free consultation. Again, that phone number, 865-742-1035. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group doing real estate the right way. If you're just tuning in today, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question of the day. Tennessee basketball, is the resurgence for real? Is Tennessee getting better? Or is the past two games, the improvement we've seen, just a result of pretty crummy competition in Ole Miss and Vanderbilt? These results have been pretty consistent as we've gone through the show. 55% of the audience says, no, it's just the competition stinks. 45% of the audience says we're actually playing better.
I mean, I feel like it's, you know, kind of what we thought in here, isn't it? Just a mixed bag.
I feel like it's a mixed bag. I'm still skeptical. I'm not saying that we stink, that it's fool's gold. All I'm saying is those two teams that we just played, absolutely awful. Ole Miss a little bit better, but not by much, only by virtue of the fact that they have Bree and Tyree. And by the way, we have not said Jordan Bowden continues to play better than he had been after he bottomed out the 1-for-17 against South Carolina. Bowden had, I want to say, what, 11 or 12 points, something like that last night. It was like 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 5 from three-point range. I thought he took too many threes last night. But the big story was he pretty much took that Tyree kid out of the game in the first half. I think he got a dozen points or so in the second half when the game was decided. But Jordan Bowden was up in his jersey from
it's
the
like
opening
he's
tip.
He's slowly but surely getting the groove back.
I don't know.
But you need his leadership on Saturday. Jordan Bowden has been in some of the biggest games in the last 3.5 years of Tennessee history.
I think probably if Devon Dotson plays, who's Kansas's best player, averaging about 18 points a game, a guy we recruited, went to Grant Williams High School in North Carolina. If he plays, and he came off the bench, didn't appear to be in the fracas, if you will, but he did come off the bench, and the rules are a little bit nebulous as to what that means. Assuming he plays, I would probably say you put Jordan Bowden on him and say, hey, man, like, probably not going to shut this dude down, but don't let him get 30. Don't let him get 30. Keep him in front of you, make him miss some shots, and we'll see if Tennessee can hang with the Jayhawks in Allen Fieldhouse. Quick timeout. Hour number 3 of the drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey cruising with you here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. John Tyler back with your top 5 at 5. Coming up next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.